Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando and thereabouts. Truly, it's a pleasure to be with you, and you again today. Thanking God for each one of you that are listening by whatever means you're listening or wherever you are, what city, state, or country you're listening from. We want to let you know that we love you, we love you, we love you, we really love you. Yes, we do. And today, praise God, we thank God for our own Sister Diane also. Bless God, and she's doing this under duress, but yet she's praying for you. And we want you to call in now and tell us your prayer request so that we can continue to pray for you as well. Whatever the situation may be, we want to pray for you. And just remember, we are praying all the time for you, and you praying for us. I know you are. Oh, yes, you are. Now, here is Sister Diane. Right quick.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Giving God all honor, glory, and praise that is due unto his holy name, Lord. Father God, we come before you thanking you, Lord, Father God, for this day, Lord, Father God. Father God, as I come before you, Lord, Father God, I lay my hands, Lord, Father God, upon, Lord, Father God, this prayer list today, Lord, Father. Father God, thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for your will being done today, Lord, Father. Father God, we hold to you, Lord, Father God, Brittany Dunkley, Lord, Father God, on the loss, Lord, Father God, on her uncle, Lord, Father God, and aunt, Lord, Father God. Oh, Father God, give her peace and comfort right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Let her know, Lord, Father God, that you're never far away from her, Lord, Father God. Strengthen her in this time, Lord, Father. Father God, we pray today, Lord, Father God, for Lisa, mother, right now, Lord, Father. Father God, you know what she's in need of, Lord, Father. And Father God, we're thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for your will being done, Lord, Father. We hold to you, Lord, Father God, Lillian Rutherford, Lord, Father God. We thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, when she go and have hip surgery, Lord, Father God. We thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for you being the doctors, Lord, Father, the surgeons, Lord, Father God. You guide their hands right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Father God, we pray for Alana May, Lord, Father God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father God, how you brought her out of the incubator, Lord, Father God. Father God, we ask you today, Lord, Father God, to continue to strengthen her body right now, Lord, Father God, as she continue, Lord, Father God, to grow, Lord, Father God. Touch her mother, Lord, Father God. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for the increase, Lord, Father God, in Atlanta right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Father God, we pray, Lord, Father God, for the Dunkley family, Lord, Father God. Continue, Lord, Father God, to strengthen them, Lord, Father. All those, Lord, Father God, that lost, Lord, Father God, loved ones, Lord, Father. I hold to you, Lord, Father God, my family, Lord, Father God. Father God, as we also do, Lord, Father God, with the passing, Lord, Father God, of our mom, Lord, Father God. And Father God, special prayers, Lord, Father God, to my uncle, Lord, Father God, Eldred Christian, Lord, Father God, for not only did he lost his sister, Lord, Father God, he also lost a brother, Lord, Father God. Father God, touch him right now and give him the peace and comfort, Lord, Father. We're thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for traveling mercies for him, Lord, Father God, as he traveled this day, Lord, Father God. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father God, how you touch, Lord, Father God, Felicia, Lord, Father God. Continue, Lord, Father God, to touch her body, Lord, Father God. We thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, even for her little son, Lord, Father God. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for him even loving on his mom right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father God, how you continue, Lord, Father God, to touch Kathleen Howell, Lord, Father God, and Jackie, Lord, Father God, how you brought them out of the hospital, Lord, Father God. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for each and every update, Lord, Father God, that we continue, Lord, Father God, to get on them, Lord, Father God, knowing, Lord, Father God, that nothing is too hard for you, Lord, Father. And, Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast right now, Lord, Father God, binding up every hindering spirit, Lord, Father God, every sending mechanism, Lord, Father God, that was sent towards this broadcast, we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we ask you, Lord, Father God, to flow, Lord, Father God, on this line today, Lord, Father God. We ask you, Lord, Father God, to decrease, Lord, Father God, as you increase, Lord, Father. Touch our listeners, Lord, Father God. You know what they need, Lord, Father God. Father God, give them that peace, Lord, Father. Give them more of you, Lord, Father God, and less of them, Lord, Father God. Oh, Father God, we bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord, Father. Father God, I ask you, Lord, Father God, today, Lord, Father God, as Deacon Michael take over the show, Lord, Father God, we ask you, Lord, Father God, to decrease him, Lord, Father God, as well as Pastor Dungy, Lord, Father God. Decrease her, Lord, Father God, as you increase in them right now, Lord, Father. Father God, we ask you, Lord, Father God, to just have your way, Lord, Father God. Use them, Lord, Father God, in a mighty way today, Lord, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank Apostle Porter and Sister Diane for that prayer and that word. You know, and good morning to all, wherever avenue you're listening. And we thank you and we praise God for each and every one of you at this time. And, you know, I'm going to give you a word that I heard a couple of days ago, and it kind of stuck with me. And I saw it on a movie, and, you know, bear with me if I don't get it right, but I might be paraphrasing a little bit. The guy said he was talking to a woman, and the woman said that she had never seen a sunset. And he says, and she says she don't want to go to sleep because she doesn't want to forget the day. And I thought about that, and I say, wow, I've never really heard anybody get into that. So then he told her, he says, long as you have faith and truth, you will always see a sunset. And you will always see a sunrise. So I thought about that. And it came to me that is true when you think about these things like that. And if you put things in the proper context and you put them to where people will understand. But I thought that was awesome when you said, long as you have faith in truth, you always see a sunset and a sunrise. And I wanted to, and I thought about that, and I said, Lord, that's an awesome word. And you know you would never believe the movie, so I'm not going to go that far with you. But it was a good movie now. To me it was. Some of you might not like it, but to me it was. But anyway, I liked it that because anytime I watch something, I'm going to get something out of it. I'm going to always glean something from something, you know, from it. You know, because this day and time, we need to know that all of us have something inside of us. You know, some more than others, some don't. But see, a lot of people don't want to use what they have. A lot of people, I remember Apostle saying a long time ago, a lot of people don't want to unlock what's in them. A lot of people don't want to use their faith intellect, let me call it that way, the intellectual of your faith. See, a lot of people don't want to use that because I don't know what the idea is and the problem and what to block. I mean, we all know the devil going to block you anytime you got anything to do with your salvation or anything like that. But the devil is always going to block good. I mean, good is always, it's always going to be a roadblock when you're doing good or you're trying to do good or you're trying to help your further man, your fellow man. You know, something always comes up. Something always happens. But we got to understand that that's what the devil's for. He's here to do that. And, you know, my word today is I want to go back to basics. And the reason I'm saying that is because the way of the events of today and the way that it seems like the world is, it's almost, you can actually feel a sort of a panic or a sort of some sort of interference that goes on in life. And I was thinking about that, so I went back, and the word was with me all night. I tossed and turned about it, and I said, why, Lord, you know, but he gave it to me. And I came out of the book of Genesis, the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. See, it was nothing here, but God created it. God brought it forth. God brought it forth for us. And, you know, even before Adam and Eve, God had to create the earth. And it wasn't nothing until he created Adam in the image of himself. Now, Adam was going around and he was naming everything and all of that. Yes, true. It was no sin or nothing at that time. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, when you think about it, you say, where does the beginning start? In the beginning, God created it. You know, scientists can put anything they want on it, the Big Bang Theory. If you want to say about the Big Bang Theory, here's my theory. God made the Big Bang. When he created Earth, he said, boom, let there be light, let there be the heaven and the earth. There was your Big Bang, if you really want to go there. So, I have a bunch of different types of theories running around in my head and stuff, you know, that people always want to know what's going on and what's happening. You know, people always want to, they always want to look to the future and they always want to look at the past. You know, they hold the past against you, but they're afraid to tell you what you're doing now. So, all, you know, my thing is, in the beginning. And, you know, I was talking to someone, I was talking to my driver yesterday who was taking me to the doctor, and I was talking, well, he was bringing me home, and I was talking to him yesterday about God. He asked me, did one of those vapor things bother me in the car? And I said, yes. He said, really? It's not a cigarette. I said, no, but it is smoke. I said, I don't even like the barbecue pit no more. You know, when the smoke come out the barbecue pit, I can't even take that no more. So what I look like with that. But I was thinking about how, and I told him, I say, listen, anytime you put a foreign substance in your body, you're hurting God's creation. And I thought about that, and that's what this came in for, because I said in the beginning God created heaven and earth. In the beginning God created man. In the beginning, God created the waters, the seas, and the ground, the grass, the trees. In the beginning, God created us all. And people don't like to, you know, we got the atheists and we got all these scientific things who people trying to find reasons not to adhere to what God is. People try to find reasons not to salute the divinity in God. People always try to find a reason not to. But why don't they? What's the holdup? What's going on? And, you know, I beat myself up because I asked myself, why did it take me so long? I mean, I was in one time and I was doing good. The next time I know it, I fell off on the wayside. But I asked myself now, and I beat myself up about it, that I've come into the understanding, what took me so long? What took me so long to put my best foot forward? What took me so long? Did I have that ball and chain on me holding me down? Yes, more than likely. Did I have that spirit of rebellion? Yes, more than likely. Did I have a lot of things running around in my head that shouldn't have been? Yes, more than likely. And, you know, did I allow people to pull me out? Yes, more than likely. And I think about it, and I go back, and I say, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created man. And I keep going back to that, and I keep understanding what it meant. And I think to myself, and like I say, when I watch a movie or watch something, I pull something out of it. I look, because if you think, a lot of things has a spiritual nature to it. If you look hard enough, if you understand hard enough. See, people, sometimes the writers don't even understand where does their intellect come from. A lot of times, and if you look, some movies have a evil aspect to it. Some things have, and you know right away. When you hear it, see the title or whatever, you know right away that that ain't right. And, you know, and see, what I keep going back to is in the beginning when God told us and everything happened. See, we can go back to when sin started with Adam and Eve, regardless who the point was. The problem was they were together as one, and they created that sin together. And that's what I look at. In the beginning, there it was. The first murder was who? Cain and Abel. So we look in the beginning, we go back and we can trace these things that goes all the way back in a biblical sense. But a lot of people don't want to see this. A lot of people don't, you know, they don't want to understand what God has in store. They don't understand what God meant to the world. When God made the world, it was supposed to be a paradise. It was supposed to be everybody tiptoed through the tulips or something, you know. But the thing about it is, we intend to muddy up the waters, so to speak. Man muddies up the waters now. Man is trying to do everything to go the opposite direction. You know, when you look around and you look at all the things that's happening today, you know, I can get further and deeper into it in the political sense or however you want to go. You just look around at the national disasters that's going on, the flash floods that's showing up at places that was only desert. You know, think about that. That was heat that never had flash floods before. Look at the eruption of the volcano in Hawaii that lay dormant for centuries. All of a sudden it happened. And I saw on the news where the cracks in the concrete in the ground where the lava was sprouting up in the middle of the street. It wasn't running down the mountain. It was coming underground and sprouting up. So how could you run and hide when this is happening? You know, when they first said that when they first rumbled and blew, I would have packed my bags and I would say, Jesus, I'm out of here. And you know they've had over 1,000 earthquakes on that island in the last month? Come on. How much warning does God have to give? How much warning does he have to tell you? You know, when things are happening. And you know what I noticed? No birds and no animals were burnt up or nothing in that lava. They were gone. They sensed that something was happening. They were gone. The same thing like here in Florida when you see the hurricanes and stuff. All of a sudden, you don't see a bird. You be wondering, where did they go hide? Where did they go? But they know. Because we got to understand, in the beginning, God created all of this. And everybody has a sense of what to do. Everybody has a sense. Every living thing, animal, mostly animals, know when there's danger. Man is the only one run to danger. Man is the only one ask for food. See, now you got some animals who would fight it out, but they know when danger coming. They know when it's time to fold up the tent and run. Man, the only one don't understand these things, you know, because, see, look, the animal understand where their food come from. The animal understand where does God has in store for them, because they respect God more than we do. The trees and the flowers and the plants respect God more than we do. If you look at it, you can look and see when something happened. Look at the leaves on the tree. Watch them bend. Watch them cry. Watch the leaves pray before God before the sunlight comes. Check it out. Wake up in the morning, early in the morning, look at it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Look at the morning dew that comes down on the ground. Look at that, and look at the grass glittering on the sand, and you'll say, what a wonderful sight. What a wonderful feeling of God's creation. Think about all these things. You know, I do. I intend to think about these things because even now I enjoy smelling fresh air. I enjoy smelling the earth, just smelling the earth, just smelling what God's creation has in store. Just think about it. You know, we got to come back to in the beginning. We got to come back to where God has us, where we're supposed to be and going and glorifying his name, praising him, hallelujah. We're supposed to praise him. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to thank him every day. We're supposed to thank him where we're at, where we're going. We're supposed to thank him and praise his name on a regular basis. See, I've got to the point now where I, on the way to my appointment yesterday, the driver was coming and we likely got in an accident. And I almost did the thing like the man did in the mummy. Every prayer known to man, I was about to say in my head. I was going from the Jewish thing, and if I'd have had charms on, I'd have been praying to everything, because that's how panicked I was, you know. And I told the lady, I said, listen here, we'd have got hit. I'm going to fall on the ground. No, I don't have no hair on my head, but I'd have been hurting then, you know. Because a lot of times these things don't make no sense. But God, the one that keeps us. I'm just going to put it in this formality. God's the one that keeps his people. He's not going to let nothing really hurt his people. How do they say it? If it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Think about that. That's another saying. That is so true. Because we should learn and glean from our past mistakes. Don't make the same mistake over and over again. I have did it, and I understand by beating my head in the wall, that's what it was just like. So then I have to come back to in the beginning. You know, when we were born, we were naive. We cried. We wanted milk. That was our beginning. But God knew us in the womb. So we were formed in that beginning for us. See, man has a beginning, too, because we're formed. After we're formed in the belly of a woman, when God know who we are, that's our beginning to know that God put us here. See, the thing about it is a lot of us, you know, I used to have a problem with depression. You know, I still, you know, every now and then it'll creep up on me, but I fight it, you know, because I know in the beginning God created me. I know the origin of what my creation is. I know what the origin, and I know that the devil had been trying to covet me for a long time, and he still tried to work on me. But I go back to in the beginning that God created me. In the beginning, God know who I am. In the beginning, God know that I will fight it to the end at this time because God created me, because he know what is in store. He know what it is. Now, I don't know whether I touched the driver yesterday evening or not when I told him about Jesus and I told him about a bunch of things. I know that I didn't say anything wrong to him. What I was telling him, I told him about God. He told me he wasn't a praying man. So I asked him, I said, how do you have a business? Don't you think your business? Because he happened to be the owner of the transportation. And I asked him, how do you think your business is going for? See, you're running around and you're carrying God's people from point A to point B. So how do you know that it wasn't the hand of God that helped you with your business? How do you know that God didn't put me here with you at this time to warn you, to let you know about him? And, you know, and that was probably around my second time of getting in depth with a stranger about God. And you know what? in the beginning, I kind of enjoyed it because it was a intellectual conversation about God. And once you get into that, you will know that when you're hitting somebody and when you're getting close, because a couple of times he reached down to pick up that vape to hit it, he say, oh, I'm sorry. He say, just have it. I say, see, that's the point. You got to break those bad habits. You got to break them. You can resist. You don't need it. Well, I used to smoke cigarettes, and this is what I'm doing now. I say, all you did was swap the devil for another devil. That's all you did. Because now you still got to put some kind of smoke in your system and in your body. And ain't nothing but chemicals in that stuff that's in the vape. But you're smoking it raw. You might as well go back and pick up a cigarette. But he said, well, I never thought about that. I say, well, think about these things. I say, you know, you old enough to think about it. The guy's about 50-something years old. And I kind of. Deny you on what's good and what ain't. And once people get into that and understand that there's no point being in denial. There's no point in that. Let's be honest with ourselves. And I'm going to go back to the saying, if you have faith in truth, you'll be able to see a sunset and a sunrise. Because you have to understand that once you have that faith and truth that's inside you, you can be able to see a lot. That's what that means. You can be able to see a lot if you have faith and truth that's inside of you. And once you know that in the beginning God created heaven and earth, once you get into that, you will understand that this is a truth thing. Pastor Dungy, I see you're on. You want to have anything to say to this? Hello, Pastor Dungy.
Hello? I'm just listening to you, Deacon Michael. It's a good word that you're saying this morning, and I just praise God for you. Powerful word, and we know that God said His word does not go out void, but it shall accomplish everything He set it out to do. So, whatever you minister to your driver, whatever you're ministering to us right now, I'm believing God is. It's falling on fertile ground, and we're going to receive it in the context that God would have it to be. Amen.
Amen. And you see, God, when God said that, I'm going to go down here to verse 10. When God called the dry land earth and the gathering together of the waters called He sees, and God saw that it was good. What do you mean by that? What does God mean by that? He means exactly what He said. He means exactly what it is. He said, and God called the dry land earth, which is what we're walking on. We're walking on of God's creation. See, long as we get off of our man-high intellectual horse, we can be able to see what God had in store for us. We can be able to see what is going on today. We can be able to see how God is moving in our lives. The problem is we got blinders on. Oh, we know what we want. You know, and I was talking, and as I was talking to the, and as I say, you know, hey, I was running my mouth to people all day yesterday. And as I was saying, people are addicted to a lot of things. People have addiction of a whole lot of things these days. You know, you don't only have to be addicted to drugs and alcohol. You don't only have to be addicted to sex. You can be addicted to money. You can even be addicted to your car. Because you don't even want a bird to poo-poo on it. You be wanting to shoot the bird. You don't want no dirt to fly on it or nothing. Man gets addicted to a whole lot of stuff. That's the only way I can put that. But why not get addicted to the Word of God? Because in the beginning, God created us all. I'm gonna wear this out until somebody gets it. In the beginning, God created us all. In the beginning, God created man and woman. In the beginning, God created the Garden of Eden. Where is your Garden of Eden now? Let's go there. Where is your Garden of Eden? Where is your soul stationed at? so to speak. You know, everybody talking about Star Trek and Solo and all this and the Guardians of the Galaxy, whatever. Where is your space? Where is your soul at today? Where is your salvation at today? Where do you think you're going when the earth is in the uproar or whatever is going on? Where do you think you're going? Where is your peace of mind at this moment? What do you have to do to get there? I'm going to tell you what you have to do to get there. What you have to do is get into the Word of the Bible and understand it and pray to God that He release all of these mindless things that run around your head, all these mindless people that runs around you. See, because a lot of times the company we keep can pull us down. A lot of times the company we keep can pull us out the Word of God. A lot of times when we're dotting all these people that's around us, that, you know, and it's hard to pull a sinner in if you're dabbling on the fence and the sinner is watching you and seeing what you're doing, how you're speaking, what you're saying. See, I understand that now more than ever is because of the fact that the matter is, when I was out there, it's easy for somebody to talk you into not going to church. It's easy for somebody to talk you not to pray. It's easy for somebody to tell you not to do this, but they don't. People, you know, people are running around and they like to have a bunch of yes people around. They don't want nobody to tell them don't do that, that's wrong. You know, a lot of people don't want that. A lot of people want to punch a yes man. See, I'm not going to be a yes man. I'm just going to tell you whether you're wrong or whether you're right. You got to. Because, see, it's my soul that's involved in this. Also, I have to be accountable, because when I encounter people, I want them to know that God, Jesus is our salvation, and we have to go through Him to get to God, but we have to see where we're going. We can't see where we're going if we got a constant fog over us, if we got constant blinders on, if we got constant road blockage. We can't get there. So we got to understand, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Listen now. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Did we always want to run? Did we always want to run and hide in the darkness? Now, you had those people, you know, it used to be a long time ago. Well, they probably still do now. Used to have the black lipstick on, wear the black and all that all the time. And I thought about that. I say, well, these people want to honor darkness. Okay. You know. Oh, and when you look at that and you think about this, you say, why has these people let the devil use them? When they got to understand in the beginning it was God. In the beginning, God the one created. The devil didn't create all this. God created it. Now, the devil might have made a mockery of a lot of things and made people be disrupting their thinking and disrupting what they do. Now, you also got to understand that some people are put on this earth for evil things and evil things. You got to understand, because there's good and there's evil all over. It's always been that yin and yang. It's always been that. This has always been something that went down and transpired over the years. This has always been an avenue that people got into. You know, man gets their self. You know, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. We like shiny objects. Just like a cat, when the cat see a ball of yarn, that distracts him, and what does that cat do? He plays with it and hits it all the time. Now, you can take a laser beam and shine it out there, and the cat will chase that laser all day long. That's what man is. Man is easily distracted and runs around chasing little shiny objects. We got to stop that. The only shiny object we should see is the Spirit of the Lord. The only shiny object we should want is the shiny object of the Holy Spirit that be shining inside each and every one of us. That's the shiny objects that we should want. That's where we should do. We should be wanting the light of the Lord to shine in us. We should want our bright light to shine also. We don't want to be covered in darkness. We want to be a light. We want to be a beacon of light for others, the others to know that the Lord is here, and he's with each and every one of us. The Lord is here, and he's going to guide us if we let him. If we let the Spirit guide us, a lot of stuff wouldn't be happening. But, you know, it's a lot going on today. It's a whole lot going on today. I mean, people would say it's things they've never seen before, but nothing is new under the face of the earth, because don't forget, in the beginning, God created all of this. So everything that's happening now was happening in the past, because the earth had to grow. So when it grew, we know we had problems. We know it's problems and things and distractions and obstacles had been coming since Adam and Eve. Let's put it that way. Because when God created heaven and earth, there wasn't no strife and problem at that moment. Let's face that. But when Adam and Eve became, when Adam was alone, he didn't have no strife or nothing. Now, he might have longed for a companion of some sort, because he was naming all the animals, and it was always male and female so they can replenish the earth. They always were in couples, too, when they started. So we got to understand that these feelings and these things do happen. That they, you know, because you got to look. You got to look at it this way. Now, sometimes I have to think that I don't know whether if I want to get married again. Let me put it this way. Sometimes I think about that I might want a companion or something. But the thing about it is I don't know what I want. So I'm not going to go out there and get anything, you know, because of the fact that if I pick them, it's going to be wrong. You know, so I have to wait on God. I have to wait on Jesus to come and let me know what's going on, if this is that and this is the other. See, I learned to wait, and I learned to have patience in God now. Now, I'm going to have to tell you, because sometime that feeling is going to arise. Then I have to think, in the beginning. See, Adam was going around a while before God decided to give him a companion. Adam had to get his stuff in order God to give him a companion. He had to finish his duties before he can relax with him a companion. See, a lot of people don't see. See, I try to get in depth in these things and figure out what's going on, or I put myself in that place. Because when you look in the beginning, when God created Adam, Adam had to name the animals, the plants, and all that. Then Adam sat back under the shade tree, and God put him to sleep and gave him a companion, but he had to fulfill his duties. Now, whatever happened after that, that's a whole nother speech and service. But what I'm here to tell you is, in the beginning, when things were peaceful, when things were not disrupted. See, a lot of stuff we bring on ourselves. We disrupt our own spirit. We disrupt ourselves. We disrupt our own blessings. We do. Because we never decide to think back to the beginning. We never think to think back to how God wanted us. We never think that what we do, there's consequences. Spiritually and naturally, there's always consequences. There's consequences when you do good. There's consequences when you do bad. So there's always consequences. I've become to understand that, and I've known that part for years. The thing about it is I didn't care about the consequences back in the day. And that was probably what kept me alive, because I really didn't think about consequences. I always wound up putting myself in bad positions and bad situations, But God had his protection angel around me, and that's because I had praying people praying for me also. Hey, listen, I knew I had a praying mother. Of course I did. But I wasn't trying to take advantage of it. I wasn't trying to do it. But the thing about it is I was too busy being rebellious. I was too busy running. I knew God was trying to lasso me. I knew it was coming, but I was too busy running. I was too busy trying to tell a step ahead till God said, oh, nope, I got you. You know, here, sit yourself here, calm down, let me work on you. And that's what I had to do. Then when that letter came and it was time, I said, it's time. I knew it was time. It was either that or death. See, I knew it was time because I thought back to in the beginning when God created all of this, when God created me, when God knew who I was. See, the thing about it is God knew the problems we was going to come through. God knew that the turmoil we was going to come, but we made it. But we got back. We made it. As long as we make it and we can get with God and do the things that the Spirit tells us to do, do the things that God is leading us to do. Now, you let me tell people this. The Holy Spirit ain't going to tell you nothing bad. The Holy Spirit always going to tell you something good. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell you nothing bad to do. You know, like people out here killing people, telling about God told him to do it. No. I once know a dude talking about he was going to kill his mother because God told him to do it, because she was a Jehovah's Witness. Now, that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. I say, no wonder why they put a straitjacket on you. And I actually told the dude that, you know. So, you know, it's a lot that goes on. It's a lot I have seen, and it's a lot I have did and went through myself. So I can tell you, and I can always go, and I'm going to always keep this in my heart. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created man. Well, in the beginning, God created the Garden of Eden. In the beginning, God created all that's before us. And the more we get this through our thick skulls and in our souls and minds, the better we'll be. The better we'll be prepared to handle things. See, a lot of times we're not prepared. Listen, see, a lot of Christians don't realize once you get a couple of steps forward, the devil gonna try to pull you back a half a step. So it's up to us to gain strength from God and think, in the beginning, this is what happened. In the beginning, God keeps us. Okay, Pastor Dungy, you are on, and I got you on, Pastor Dungy. Go for it. Pastor Dungy? Pastor Dungy?
I'm sorry, my phone was locked on mute, and I could not take it off. Can you hear me, Michael? Deacon Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I don't know this. Technology, how you doing this morning? God bless everybody.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, this is Diana Dungy. Is it? Okay. I just thank God for waking us all up this morning in our right minds and now allowing us another opportunity to make whatever we did wrong, to make it right, to represent him in all we hear, say, do, and be. Amen. I just thank him for our apostle and our bishop, Porter. I thank him for our sister, Diane. I just thank God for being with them as they travel on the road this morning, that he will keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Our prayers are with them as they go into the service to walk their awesome mother home to glory today. I ask God to be in the service. I ask the Holy Spirit to just show up and show out. I pray for the spirit of camaraderie, the spirit of unity, the spirit of peace and love. I call forth the spirit of conviction and righteousness to rise high in the service. I thank God that he is not a coincidental God. Everything happens for a reason. And I pray that the families of Diane's mother will come together, not bended and bonded and knotted together in love, and I cancel every demonic force of the enemy that will cause any type of division, any type of dramas, any type of commotions. It's canceled right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank God that the words of Apostle and Bishop and Diane and Pastor Sharon's mouth, I thank you, Lord God, that the words of their mouth and the meditation of their heart are acceptable unto our God, our Redeemer. I just thank God for a Holy Ghost hookup in that service today. And I pray that the Lord will bathe all their emotions with his blood and give them the balm of Gilead. Let them have the spirit of peace and let them recognize that their mother is in a better place and that God has already done his thing with her and through her. And now it's time for them to recognize God here on earth and be able to become who all he has called them to be. All her brothers, all her sisters, her uncles, her aunts, cousins, everybody connected to this awesome woman that has transitioned home. I pray that God's hands be upon them and his perfect plan and his perfect will be there and go forth in the name of Jesus. I thank God for each and every one that's on the line today under the sound of our voice. I pray, Lord God, that a word has been spoken through our awesome Deacon Michael. I thank you, Father God, that you are not a coincidental God. I thank you, Lord God, you are strategic, that everything you do lines up with your word, everything. And it's awesome that Michael went back and talked about the foundation. He went back to Genesis, to the beginning. And that's also what God has placed on my heart. This isn't something that I came with. It's something that was written by Chris and Michael Bradley, come from the Bible Knowledge Ministries. And we're talking today about I am the potter and you are the clay. So I pray that the teaching that I'm sharing with you will be a blessing for you as it was for me. God is our potter and we are the clay. So I'm going to share this teaching with you, how actual pottery is made and how it fits into God's sanctification with us today. God says, I am the potter and you are the clay. He said, I designed you before the foundation of the world. He said, I arranged events of each day to form you into this preconceived pattern. My everlasting love is at work in every event of your life. On some days, your will and my will flow smoothly together. You tend to feel in control of your life when our wills are in harmony. On other days, you feel as if you are swimming upstream against the current of my purposes. When that happens, stop and seek my face. The opposition you feel may be from me, or it may be from the evil one. He says, talk with me about what you are experiencing. Let my spirit guide you through treacherous waters. As you move through the turbulent stream with me, let circumstances mold you into the one I desire you to be. Say yes to your potter as you go through this day, because it's up to God to mold, transform, and sanctify us as we journey through this earthly life. We need to find out how pottery is made if we want to fully understand what God is trying to tell us in this incredible analogy. I'm going to break down the main steps on how pottery is actually made, along with appropriate explanations as to how all of this perfectly fits into God's actual sanctification with us. Amen. So there's 10 steps to it, so I pray that I can get through each one of the steps. And if not, I know that whatever I did share with you, that it's going to ring through your spirit, man, and it's going to bring you revelation. It's going to incite you. It's going to excite you. It's going to enlighten you. And it's going to bring you closer to God and cause you to have more faith and trust in what he's doing in your life. Amen. The first step, as the potter begins molding us, his clay, it says that God needs the word in us before he can start the sanctification process. So the first thing you will see is a lump of clay that will actually be used to make the piece of pottery that God is looking to make. We are that lump of clay. And before you can put this piece of clay on an electric wheel to start the actual molding process to make the kind of pottery God wants to make, he has to first add enough water into it in order to make it pliable and soft enough to be able to actually use it. If we do not add enough water into the clay will remain too hard and rigid to be able to actually use. So when the water is added into the clay, it makes the clay soft and pliable. If the clay is not soft, it cannot be used. The analogy for us to pick up on this first step is that the water used in this process represents the Word of God. So we need to remember that. The water that the potter is using to make the clay pliable represents the Word of God. Here's a good verse giving us the actual revelation that the word water in the Bible is symbolic of the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God is like water to our souls. So just like our physical body needs water in order to be able to live and survive in this world, in the same way, our souls need God's Word flowing through us in order to feed us on the inside, in our inner man. So what this is telling us is that God cannot even begin to mold and transform us in this life unless we are first willing to do our part. What is our part? Our part is to get into his word, read it, understand it, and assimilate what is in the Bible as best as we can. The only way that we're really going to understand what the Bible is saying to us is with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand what we're actually reading. The Bible says that we are to grow in the knowledge of God, and one of the main ways that we will grow in the knowledge of God is to read from the book that will give us this direct knowledge. The book is called the Bible. And there is no other way into the knowledge of God other than reading the Bible. If we don't spend enough reasonable time in this life trying to read from the Bible and assimilate the actual knowledge that's in the book as best as we can, then God will have very little to work with in our own personal growth with him. And we will see very little, any actual spiritual growth in our lives. So we need the Word of God to water our life. And then the Holy Spirit needs something to work with in order to get this growth process kicked into full gear. That's something that the Holy Spirit needs is knowledge. And that knowledge can only be gained by reading the Bible. There's no other way. Just as a potter cannot use the clay unless there's enough water added into it, in the same way, God cannot start the sanctification process in our life unless we first start getting enough of his word in us. The word cannot start to effectively work in us in our life unless we first attempt to get it into us in the first place. So without question, the very first step we have to take if we actually really want God to mold and shape us into the kind of person he really wants us to become in him in this life, is to spend enough reasonable time in the Word, trying to understand with the help of the Holy Spirit all the knowledge that's contained in it and exactly how all this knowledge can be incorporated into our personal life and our walk with the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to interpret God's word for us. So when we get ready to reopen the Bible and read it, One thing we can say is, Holy Spirit, make it rhema to me. Help me to understand what God is saying to me today. Amen. And then the second step that the potter has to take to mold us into who God has called us to be. The second step says that we have to be properly centered in Christ Jesus. So after the potter adds enough water into the clay to make it soft and pliable so that he can now work with it, the next thing he has to do is put the piece of clay in the center of that electric wheel. Now this wheel will then start to spin so that the potter can use his hand to start the molding and shaping process with the clay as it's actually spinning on the wheel. The wheel is going around, the clay is sitting in the center of that wheel, and the potter's hand is going around with the spinning to mold and shape that clay. However, if the piece of clay is not properly centered in the middle of the wheel, then he will not be able to work with it, and the potter will not be able to make the pottery he wants to make. The pottery said having the lump of clay perfectly centered in the middle of the electric wheel is the first step in actually being able to make the piece of pottery. If he tries to make a piece of pottery with a lump of clay that is not properly centered in the middle, it will eventually tear apart before he can finish the process. In the same way that the clay has to be properly centered in the middle of the wheel before the potter can even begin to mold and shape it, we ourselves have to be properly centered in Jesus Christ before God can start to mold and shape us. So what does it mean to be properly centered in Jesus? I believe what it means to be properly centered in Jesus is that we have to be under complete and full surrender of you and your entire, Jesus has to have complete and full surrender of us and our life with him, where he now is in full control of our entire life. Jesus has to become both Lord and Savior in our life, not just Savior. There's too many Christians today that do not have Jesus as the real Lord in their life. They receive salvation, but when it comes time to giving their life over to God and letting him control it, we come up a little short sometimes. God has to be Lord and Savior, not just Savior. So again, we have to recognize, in order for God to use us, we have to be fully centered, fully surrendered, a full good surrender. Bottom line, we have to enter into God's perfect will for our life before he will start to guide both us and our life in the direction that he wants it to take. God will not fully guide us to our destiny in him and fully sanctify us to the degree that he would really like unless we first come into full surrender with him. God said, "It's your all for his all." So just like the potter cannot mold the piece of clay into the piece of pottery that he's trying to make unless it's perfectly centered in the middle of the wheel, in the same way, the Lord cannot begin to properly work with us in this life unless we are perfectly centered in him in full surrender. The potter shows this with the piece of clay. With it not being properly centered in the middle of the wheel, he gets it about halfway to where it needs to go, and then all of a sudden, it rips and tears apart from the wheel, all because it was not perfectly centered in the middle of the wheel in the first place. That's just like us. We can be going along good, talking the talk, walking the walk. Oh, God is this. I love the Lord. Jesus is so faithful. And then a big storm comes into our life. Maybe we get divorced. Maybe our children act up. Maybe we lose all our money. Maybe we get our car repossessed. All of a sudden, God, where are you? All of a sudden, we've been knocked off our cracker. And all this faith that we had, it went up in a puff of smoke. If we cannot stay rooted and grounded, even in the hard times, if we cannot praise God and praise Him and love on Him in the midst of our problems, then we are not perfectly centered in the middle of the wheel. And we're going to break apart, and God's going to have to pick us back up and put us back together again and sit us back on that wheel. Halfway through our walk with God, all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and we rip and are torn away from the wheel, all because we were not perfectly centered in the middle of the wheel in the first place, all because our focus was not on God's face and who He is to us, but our focus was on His hand and what He could do for us. We have to perfectly align ourselves with God and know that no matter what's going on in our life, everything happened for a reason, but that God has our back. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. So no matter what, God is still there. We have to live our life and allow Jesus to lead us and guide us. Or if we don't, our lives will eventually fall apart and we will never reach and fulfill the divine destiny to which God has called each and every one of us in this life. This is why Jesus tells us in His word that without Him, we can do absolutely nothing in this life. And if we try to build our own houses in this life without His direct guidance, we will end up laboring in vain. If we try to do it all through our own efforts and wisdom, we get frustrated, worn out. Our life becomes toe up from the flow up. Psalms 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Everything we do, if we don't do it in the name of the Lord, comes to no effect. It becomes null and void. Hallelujah. The third step that the potter takes in order to mold us and make us, in order for us to be who God has called us to be. The third step says that sanctification, steady and progressive process. The next thing that the potter points out is how slow and steady the electric wheel turns as he is using his hands to mold the clay. He explains that to get the lump of clay to the pot he wants to make, that the wheel has to turn at this slow and steady pace. If he speeds up the wheel to any faster degree, the lump of clay will again tear completely apart before he can make it to the finish line. We can't go ahead of God, and we can't go behind God. We got to walk into the pace that God has destined for our lives. He said, in the same way, we have to have patience with the Lord on how He wants to work and build our lives up in Him. In our fast-paced, self-centered world, we are used to instant everything. We live in this microwave life. Even you be at the microwave oven, you put your food in there and you sitting there patting your hands and tapping your feet, wondering how long is it going to take for this food to warm up. It's a microwave oven. It only takes seconds. But because we're watching the progress so intently, it seems like it's a long progress. But in God's realm, He works things out in a much slower time frame than we're used to. And if we do not learn how to go with His slower flows and time frame, we could end up getting very frustrated and impatient and then eventually end up losing our peace and joy in Him, not to mention our possible call in Him. So just as a teenager will get stretch marks on their skin if they grow up too fast during puberty, in the same way, we have to let God build us up in Him in this slow and steady manner. If we try to push the envelope too far and too fast with God, different parts of our lives could totally unravel and fall apart. Not waiting on God's timing or who you should be marrying in this life could cause you to marry the wrong person in this life. And that's what Michael, Deacon Michael was saying. He said he wants to be married, but he since he don't know what he wants, he got to wait on God. God's word said that a man to find a wife finds a good thing. So that's telling us women, we are not supposed to go out there looking for that man. Whoever God has for you, God will bring into your environment. God may be fixing him up while he's fixing you up. So us as singles should be focused on God, loving on God, trying to find out, learn everything we can about God, learn what our purpose is in life, what we're supposed to be doing for God. As we get into the on the road, on the journey that God has for our path, whatever blessings, whatever persons that he has for us, they will be on that road as well. We don't have to get off the track. We don't have to go look out in the clubs. We don't have to go hang out in places we know that single men or single women will be. Sometimes we have to put ourselves in situ in environments like going to church, going to Christian single groups, different things like that. But we're just getting ourselves prepared for whoever God has for us. Even not waiting on the next job you should be taking could cause you to take a major wrong turn in the destiny that God already has planned out for your life. Just jumping up and taking a job and not asking God, is this what you have for me? It could end up in costing us years of wasted and unproductive time, if not completely causing us to lose our entire call in him altogether. So just as a good potter has to take his time when molding and forming out this piece of pottery as it's spinning on the wheel, in the same way, God has to mold, shape, and transform all of us in the same slow and steady manner. We have to have the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and one of those fruits we have to be walking in is the spirit of patience, the fruit of patience. We all need the patience of the Holy Spirit operating in us to help keep us in God's timing with how he wants to work things out in our life, especially in this fast-paced world in which we live in today. So it's not about us. It's all about God. So let God do his perfect work in us so that we can be all that he has purposed us to be. The 4th step that the potter says is, God's hands will personally mold, shape, and transform us. The next thing we need to grab a hold of in our sanctification in the Lord is that it is literally the hand of God himself operating through the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that will supernaturally transform and sanctify us. This is a direct supernatural work done only by the Holy Spirit himself. We have no play in it. So once the potter has a lump of clay properly centered in the middle of the wheel and enough water has been added into the clay to make it soft and pliable to work with, then the potter starts the actual molding process with the lump of clay. What he first does as the lump of clay is spinning on the wheel is to take his hand and push it down on the top of the clay to create an opening in it. Once the opening has been made at the top of the clay, the potter hand goes down deep inside the middle of the clay as it's forming, and he uses his hands to properly shape the piece of clay as it's building up during the spinning process on the wheel. The potter's hands are thus working on both the inside and outside of the clay to mold, shape, and transform it into the pot he wants to make it as it continues to spin on the wheel. His hands are literally making and forming all this out with his original shapeless lump of clay. The potter says that he cannot make a pot unless his hands go down deep in the middle of that pop as it's forming on the outside. In the same way, God's own hand literally goes down deep inside into the middle of our souls and spirit where the inner sanctification work is usually done. He comes in and he molds and transforms us into the saints he wants us to become in him. This is why we have to give God a full, solid green light to do this type of inner sanctification work in us, as he needs our full cooperation in order to be able to get that deep on the inside of us. So since God is doing the actual supernatural work on the inside of us, it can become rather painful and unpleasant at times, since he will be removing all the bad and negative qualities that he does not want in us to have operating in our personalities. And at the same time that he's pulling all the negative qualities out, he's instilling and imparting all of the good, positive, and godly qualities that he wants us to have inside of us. The potter also has to apply a good amount of pressure, with his hands as he's molding and shaping this lump of clay. In the same way, God has to apply some serious pressure on all of us from time to time in order to get us to change, to become the kind of person he wants us to become. And that pressure doesn't feel good sometimes. When we know God is pushing on us, you know, things start happening. Sometimes things don't happen because God is saying, no, I don't need you to go that way. No, I don't need that person in your life. So sometimes there are people that we want to hold on to in life, but God will take them out of our life because they will hinder what he wants to happen in our lives and bring us closer to him. So he will remove toxic qualities such as pride and arrogance and bad tempers and lust. All these are very painful due to our flesh wanting to keep these negative qualities operating in our personalities. There are some things that are not good for us that we want to hold on to. But God has to sometimes yank it away from us because he knows we're not going to let it go. So we have to let God do this inner surgery work in us through the Holy Spirit so that we can eventually be molded and shaped into the godly saint that he's calling us to become in him, so that we can have true joy, happiness, and fulfillment in our life. Amen. So we have to take the good with the bad. When God takes things away from us, we have to let it go. Sometimes we'll be going all over, begging a person to come back, doing this, that, and the other, trying to keep that person in our life, trying to keep a hold of something that God is telling us that we don't need. And all it's going to do is cause us more and more hurt, more pain, more disappointment. The fifth step, time is always almost getting away from us, so I know I'm not going to be able to go all the way to 10, so I'm going to give you what I can. The fifth step, as the potter transforms us into his image, is to let God develop us to our fullest potential in this life. So the next thing the potter will show us is that his hands start to work with both the inside and outside of the clay. So as his hands work on the inside and the outside of us, the clay, the lump of clay starts to actually grow as it continues to spin on the wheel. It becomes bigger and taller. However, all of a sudden, the potter stops working on the clay. With it being about halfway to where it needs to go, the work stops. He then points out that we all need to let God take us as far as he will want to take us in this life. He said that no one is going to pay for a pot that is only half done and half completed. In the same way, with the Lord, we should not quit and bail out on him as we're about halfway up the mountain. He wants us to climb in our call and divine destiny in him. We always need to continue to press on and let God take us as far as he wants to take us in this life. Too many Christians quit and bail out on the Lord as they're about halfway up the mountain because he's asking them to climb higher and higher. As a result, they never find out how much further they could have gone with God had they just continued to press on further. That's why they say there is so much talent and unused gifts in the cemetery, because people passed away before they were able to fulfill the purpose that God had planned on their life. They did not allow God to work on them on the inside and out and take them to the point where he wanted them to go. Instead, they decided how their life wanted to be. And so there were many gifts and talents that God had bestowed upon people that were never, ever seen or used. And we don't want to be like that. We want God to use us up. Every gift and talent that he has bestowed upon us, I pray today that every destined, every destined, preconceived purpose that God has placed on each and every one of our lives, I pray that it will be fulfilled, that we will go to our gravesite fulfilling God's purpose. The potter said that once you start this process with the Lord, that we have to decide how far, we have to let him decide how far he wants to take us in this life. And do not be afraid if God really wants to stretch your abilities and horizons in the divine plan that he's already set up for your life. We only have one chance in this eternal scheme of things to leave our mark in the world in the calling that God has placed on our life. So we have to let God take us as far as he wants to go, and then we won't ever have to worry about having any second regret once we leave and depart from this life and enter into heaven for all eternity. There will be no regret. We can leave this life knowing that we have fully accomplished everything that the Lord was wanting us to accomplish for him. If we stay the course with him and do not bail out due to fear, laziness, procrastination, justification, making excuses, those don't work with God. God says in his word, in Jeremiah, it's Philippians, I think it is, 4:19. The plans I have for you are plans of good and not of evil. Plans to bring us to an acceptable end and an end that he's accepted and pleased with as well. So I pray today that the five steps that I did share with you, that they resonated in your spirit, that they cause you to think about where you are in your life right now, that they will cause you to see yourself as that clay on the potter's wheel, that you are right now today reading God's word so that it can be water to your soul, so that it can make you pliable, so that God can talk with you, so that he can talk with you, so that he can be with you, so that he can undergird you, so that you hear his voice and not the voice of a stranger will you follow as you read his word. And then you become fully surrendered to him. Open up your hearts and your mind, your soul, your will, emotions, and allow God to come in and sit with you and spend time with you and show you exactly who you are in him and what he wants to do through you. Amen. And then stay centered and focused. Let God be the center of your life. Let him not only be your Savior, but let him be your Lord. Let him just take his own time in fixing you and forming you and doing what he needs to do in you and through you. Let God be your potter today. And you stay the clay. Don't go before God. Don't be go behind him. There's a song that says, Lord, I don't want to be anywhere that you're not. And that's what I'm praying for us today, that we do not be anywhere where God is not at. Because if we leave out of the presence of God, we are walking into the presence of the devil, and we are saying, devil, here I am. Do whatever you want to me. And see, God is not going to violate your will. If you decide that you don't want to walk with God, if you decide that you don't want to surrender your life to God, he lets you go. I mean, he sees you. He knows everything that's going on with you, but he's not going to force you to serve him. He said, I love you forever. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. But then if I tell you, do this, and this is going to happen, but you decide to do something else, then you're responsible. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be rewards if we obey God, and there's going to be consequences if we disobey him. That's just the way it goes. Clean cut. God is no respect of person. What he does for one, he's going to do for another. So if you want to be blessed, be a blessing to others. And if you want your life cursed, then curse others. It's all up to you. It's all up to me. Whatever way we want our life to go, it can go there. But God has already laid out the blueprint. Read his word, follow his guidelines, and we're going to make it to glory shouting and rejoicing. Amen. I just thank you all for listening to me today. I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, was acceptable unto God. I pray that it was a word in season, and I pray that you allow God to be God in your life today. And I'll just turn it back over to our awesome Deacon Michael. Thank you. And you guys, don't forget, bless this ministry. Go in on the website and send in a donation. Show them just how much they're blessing to you. Because God said when you bless others, he will bless you. Amen.
Amen, amen. We'd like to thank Pastor Dungy for that wonderful word, and I thank God for her, and I thank God for each and every one of you who are listening in today, and we praise God for you. Now, don't forget, the mailing address is Post Office Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. The church address is 313 County Road 437, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. And we have services on 1 p.m. on Sundays with the School of Wisdom, and then we go right into service, and on 6 p.m. Bible study on Tuesday nights. And we also have the Wailing Wolves prayer line. That's every Friday night at 11 p.m. And the number is 218-548-6746. And the code is 3333 pound. Come on and let God be a blessing to you and each and every one of us. And don't forget, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Apostle Porter will be back with you and with her guests. And the number is 347-857-3925. That's tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. So don't forget. Please come aboard and listen, because there's always a wonderful word for you and I, and we'll be always ready to hear from you also. And don't forget what I said earlier. In the beginning, God created us all. In the beginning. Now, what I would ask each and every one of you to do today when you get a chance is just take a step back. Physically take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, thank you, Lord. That's all. Because you'll see how much it would be a blessing for you. You'll see how much you could take in on what God. So I just want to thank each and every one of you for listening today, and may God bless each and every one. Thank you, and God bless.
mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying how the story is,
when I let go
and
let God have it. That's when things start happening.
I stop looking at back then.
When I let go, let him have. There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. Not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright. Yeah.
As soon as I stop worrying how the story is,
I can let go. Let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God.